all the sports, all the news, Sportsfire. Asking the questions no one else will. Join me, Graham Joffe, as we scrum down with players, coaches and administrators. 1 hour of hard-hitting, informing, controversial, entertaining sports talk. Sportsfire, powered by Rico.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Sports Fun. I guess pretty much you know what's coming up in my soapbox tonight. I think I don't have to give you any prizes for guessing. Anyway, great to have you on the show with us tonight, and welcome to our syndication partner listeners. West Coast FM in Namibia, 90.3 FM in Plettenberg Bay, Knysna FM, Cowie FM in Port Alfred, Wild Coast FM in East London, and Aldo's FM in Johannesburg. On the show tonight, Karina Slemmer, former COO of Cycling South Africa, and this is something very disturbing. Cycling South Africa in dire straits financially. How can this be happening when we've got so many stars that are really putting cycling on the map in South Africa? Robbie Siegel, very much involved with the Liverpool Legends Golf Day that happened at Houghton last week. I know he was also down at the game this past weekend. We'll get his thoughts on all of that. Sportsfire rugby analyst Dan Retief on the weekend that was. Comfortable win over Scotland, a game of two halves, but Dan will have all of that for us. South African golfing talent, Sipho Bojela. Real talent playing as a pro for the first time in the South African Open this week. But there is bad news for the SA Open. Henrik Stenson has withdrawn with a wrist injury, so that is a big blow. Teletrack analyst Shane McGregor on the show tonight, and of course our off-the-wall analyst Norm. Clips tonight, South African Sports Awards, Sachin Tendulkar, Bok Rugby, Henrik Stenson, and BBC Football News. At Joffa's my boy, the Twitter address, Facebook Graham Joffe, the website sportsfire.co.za. Sportsfire is powered by Rico, South Africa's leading provider of document management solutions.
Daddy, why do you come here?
Because here I can be creative.
Why is that important?
Because that's how we create our document solutions.
Why do you need document solutions?
Because they revolutionize the way people work.
What's revolutionized?
At Rico, we have as many document solutions as a six-year-old has questions. Why? Because when integrated creatively, information and technology drive productivity and profitability. Rico. Imagine. Change.
So, SA Sports Awards last night at Sun City. Didn't get my invite, but as I said, I wasn't going to hold my breath. But I had the best seat in the house, on my couch at home, which allowed me to change the channels to the Disney Channel after just 20 minutes of the show. And I wish I wrote down the direct quote from the head of the Lotto Distribution Board, who was one of the first guys up, and he said something like, "All Lotto applications will now be verified, and we will catch the crooks by hook or by crook." What is he actually implying? And he went on to hand out the Federation of the Year, which went to, no drum roll, Tobbs, okay, South African Swimming. Do I need to say any more? It just makes a mockery of the whole sports awards that Swimming South Africa, which is so badly administered, and because we have some brilliant individual swimmers, they take all the credit. Needless to say, some of our sporting champions weren't even invited to the awards. And yeah, when you think about Chad Leclos, Hashim Amla, not good enough to win the Sports Star of the Year, it went to Chiefs goalkeeper Itumeleng Khune. And I've got nothing against Khune, great goalkeeper, but what have Bafana Bafana really achieved in this past year? And how can you even compare what Itumeleng Khune has done to what Chad Leclos or Hashim Amla or a couple of other guys have done? Daryl Impey, another guy that wasn't even nominated. Anyway, Khune, the big winner on the night.
As I walk up the stage, you saw me pointing up. That's my trademark celebration. Whenever we score a goal, I look up in the sky and say, God is great. And he is indeed great.
This is Sportsfire with Graham Joffe, powered by Rico.
We talk about so many sporting federations that are in massive trouble. We talk about SASCOG, who are probably some of the worst administrators of sport. But yet there's some federations that their buddies are running, and these federations seem to be getting away with murder. Joined on the show now by Karina Slemmer, who's the former CEO of Cycling South Africa and also currently suspended head of Boerland Cycling, suspended VP of Western Cape Cycling, director of the National Cycling Academy, which is a private social responsibility initiative. Karina, thanks for joining us. The CVE has a bit of a A bit of black and white there.
Do we still talk that language in the new South Africa?
You're right, sorry about that. Okay, your CV's not all that good.
No, definitely not.
But you know what? I know about what you've been involved with. I know your passion for cycling. You've been involved in the sport for many years, and that's what I want to first talk about, this academy, the social responsibility initiative, which you are giving back to the sport with your passion. Tell us a little bit more about that first.
The most important thing is that it doesn't take money to be socially responsible.
Right.
It takes a little bit of time. It only takes as much time as you have or that you can make available. So I, on average, spend probably not more than 100 hours in a year on educated people on grassroots level and in agri areas, farms, etc., to get involved in the basics of cycling. So we give our time and we don't give anything else.
So education at the end of the day?
Only education, yes. I run a big presence on Mixit for safe cycling. I run distance learning education at the University of Stellenbosch. It's not just me, but I spend most of the time while the founders and the supporters are very much in the background.
And Karina, so are you a former cyclist yourself?
Yes, I was a national team member, Springbok as they call it in the old days.
I do remember the name, of course.
one of the strong doping eras of the South African cycling regime in the end of the 80s and the beginning of the 90s.
Okay. Were you ever tested in those days?
Yeah, we were all tested.
Wow. Okay.
Every single person who was tested and who was a famous cyclist, and I can't think of anybody who wasn't, did get caught at some point. but we're not going to mention names now, but all the greats did get caught at some point.
Okay. Right.
I doped in my penultimate year of racing. I became clean already soon after I stopped. I stopped when I was 28 years old, which is quite young for a cyclist.
Sure.
And I came clean to my family probably in 1992 already. But my doping was minor compared to what was apparently really going on.
No, I can just imagine.
Yeah, and I'm very grateful to say that I never finished the race while I was doped.
Okay. Yeah. I want to get onto serious matters now with regard to South African cycling. I was looking at a report from Peter Herbst on the financial state and the administration of South African cycling. It just makes for some very sad reading.
Peter is a very good guy in my limited opinion. I've known him for about 2 years, and I think he's great. And he's warned the Federation countlessly over the last 2 years that they have to change their direction. You'll see one of his quotes in the document. It was repeated on the dock. But he first quoted, "The ship's out of the harbor and it's chasing. We run the risk of going aground." They took chances. And Peter wasn't always in control.
Okay. We're just getting a lot of feedback with that wind there, Karinas. And sorry. I mean, so where's it all going wrong? Is it right from the top all the way down? I know I've been involved and I've seen some communication between SASCOG and Cycling South Africa. Things haven't been running that smoothly, but yet we have so many top cyclists in this country. You would think that it should be the most marketable sport and there should be corporates jumping to get involved.
Well, cycling is one of those semi-unique sports where you don't need a federation to have an incredibly busy and successful calendar, both for recreation and for racing across all disciplines.
Sure. Karina, sorry, the wind is just so bad there. Sorry, is there a bit of a quiet spot? I know it's hard to find a place in Cape Town with no wind.
Well, either that or some very bad rain over the weekend. How's the sound now?
A little bit better. Sounds good.
Okay. So what I was saying is that you don't really need a federation to run a successful calendar.
Right.
And you don't need a federation to get Daryl Impey into the Orica Green Net. You need people with passion, both businesses, event organizers, and then obviously your voluntary club structure to make things like that possible. Not a federation.
When are the next elections for possible change in South African cycling?
Well, they're sitting in a 4-year cycle and they're halfway through.
Halfway through it?
Yes.
You suspended as head of Boerland Cycling and suspended VP of Western Cape Cycling. I mean, what's the who, how, what, and what's happened there?
I insulted the president of Cycling South Africa, William Newman, by calling him a puppet and a pawn of the white, fat Afrikaner, of which I'm one myself, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm also a white fat Afrikaner. A large part of the board of Cycling South Africa is made up of white fat Afrikaners, and I expect I'll get all kinds of legal letters delivered to my door tomorrow. So I insulted William after I'd given him a chance since February to meet with me to talk about stuff that concerns all of us. And William was flatly essentially ignored and then eventually refused to meet with me. And then I met with a previous UCI president and with the current UCI president, Brian Cookson and Pat McQuaid, and I wrote them a letter as well afterwards saying that I had no faith and no trust in William and in the structures in cycling in South Africa.
I've also heard some rumblings going on within there, and there's been some possible alleged maladministration and some funny, strange business practices that are also going on in South African cycling.
Sorry for interrupting you. I don't know much about maladministration and strange business practices. I would rather just say that what Peter Happ's document says on your website now is that they were hoping for a miracle. So if we can say, they're not here, and Peter declined. Peter called me this morning after he heard that I was going on radio. Peter declines to comment, declines to go on radio to essentially defend or explain. So it's probably partly unfair. So what I'm willing to say is that Peter's quote is very clean, very clear. They were hoping for a miracle.
To save South African cycling.
And the miracle should have been forthcoming for a few years now, because they took business decisions to get involved in massive events, World Cups and World Championships, when they actually had hardly any money in the bank, and that they were using ring-fence money to pay for other things. You don't use sports and rec money and lotto money to pay for something that's not in the business plan and was approved by those funds.
And it's not going towards the benefit of the cyclists either, possibly.
If the federation was cash flush and their business was sound, then the money that they received for the athletes would have gone to the athletes.
Okay.
So it is possible to get it right. It's possible to get it right. It's possible to just simplify the administration structure. I mean, Peter, in his email again, and it doesn't have to come from me, Peter says that they spend, let's say, the same amount of money to collect funds as the worth of the funds. So collecting memberships and licenses and levies from events and all kinds of fees is then completely unnecessary. Employing 9 people just to collect money so that 9 people can eat is not actually right. It's not about the people working in the federation now, it's about the cyclists.
Yeah, and especially when the races themselves, the big events like the Argus and the Momentum 94.7, those are done by private companies or private... I mean, that's not...
All 99.9% of events in South Africa are probably owned by private structures.
So what are the answers? How does South African cycling get cleaned up? And you know, when I look at the SA Sports Awards last night, the cyclists are hardly even getting a mention, and they've been unbelievable.
Yeah, they are unbelievable. We have successful cyclists, and we've had. Yeah, with serious indication that there's much more possible. And again, I'm telling you that we don't need a federational structure to get it right. I say close the shop, put them under administration, retrench everybody, and just cut down. Just go into a zero expenditure state.
Wow. Carinus, really appreciate your time on the Sports Fire tonight. And it's a very pretty touchy, sensitive subject as well. But we really appreciate your openness on the show tonight.
I'll be in big trouble tomorrow. Suspended, temporary suspension for almost 3 months. It'll be 3 months at the end of next week.
Wow. I don't
know. And they just don't come to the party to tell me exactly what my sin was. I insulted the president, which has nothing to do with the federation or with the cyclists' money.
Sure.
It's a private matter.
Carinus, all the best and thanks again.
Cheers, Graham.
Cheers, then. And the chances of South African cycling being put under administration are not probably very strong, because I do know that for a fact that that's one of SASCOG's buddies, William Newman, who is running South African cycling. And there has been some big questions asked before. And also see just a tweet here from Cycling Direct that says they're still waiting for Cycling South Africa, the press release on their financial situation as promised by Mike's Maverick on Saturday. So that's Saturday, we're now Monday. So let's see what comes of the financial situation of South African cycling. Sad news. I mean, on the weekend, one of our great female roadrunners, Sonia Laxton. I know her husband Ian very well. I think I've spoken to Kim on the show before. And my thoughts and prayers are with the family. Sonia, involved in a hit-and-run accident over the weekend while she was training somewhere here, I think in Rosebank, between Oxford and Glenove Road, suffered multiple injuries. Sonia Laxton, and anybody close to the family listening, we're wishing you a very speedy recovery. One of the greatest careers in cricket, if not the greatest, has come to an end. Sachin Tendulkar, retiring from international cricket after India's win over the West Indies in Mumbai at the weekend. Highly emotional day for the legend and his millions of adoring fans.
A final send-off in Mumbai as India says goodbye to its greatest ever cricketer. Even though their team won, the result didn't matter. The fans were there for just one man.
We're gonna miss him, but still, I'm personally happy because when he started career, I was not there. At least when he's retiring, I'm sure watching the match. It was so lovely. Thank you, Sachin. Sachin!
There are 80 to 90,000 god and goddesses in India, but we're going to miss this real live god on Mother Earth, India.
For some, it's almost too much, and life will never be the same again.
How are you going to live without him?
For me, you know, personally, cricket died for today, you know. I'm not going to follow cricket anymore, you know. Ever since I was a child, you know, cricket meant Sachin Tendulkar to me. Without Sachin Tendulkar, hard to believe, you know, how I'm going to survive.
So the reality is finally starting to hit home as people scream out of the stadium. This really is the end of an era. Fans are talking about the age before Sachin. Now, the age after Sachin.
Sachin!
Now awarded India's highest civilian honour, his status as national icon is now official. But cricket mad India will struggle to let go of Sachin Tendulkar. Andrew North, BBC News, at the Wankhede Stadium in Mumbai.
What an unbelievable cricketer, and probably one of the greatest that we'll ever see in our generation as well. The little maestro, Sachin Tendulkar, and just a pity that we're not going to see the legend one more time here in South Africa. Right, it was a golf day for the Liverpool legends at Houghton last weekend. Certainly one of the best golf days that I've been fortunate enough to be invited to. And one of the guys behind it who's been very involved in junior football in South Africa, a guy with a huge heart and a huge passion for junior football, what he's done at Balfour Park, I'm sure many will be able to testify. Guy Robbie Siegel, the passion that he has for football in this country and junior development. Robbie, thanks for joining us on Sports Fire tonight, my boy.
Pleasure, Graham. Pleasure to be with you.
Right. Last week, what a day. Liverpool Legends Golf Day at Houghton. I've never, you know, from Bruce Crawlbar to John Barnes to Steve McManaman to Phil Neal, the guys were so approachable and so accessible. I mean, I don't think Liverpool, I mean, I'm not a Liverpool fan, but I was just astounded how incredible they were.
Well, Graham, you know, from my point of view, and I'm a little bit embarrassed to say, I'm a Man United fanatic organising a Liverpool Legends Golf Day. And I must say, I had the privilege of going out for supper with these guys on Monday night. And exactly what you're saying now, you have got no idea how approachable these guys were. It was just an absolute treat to be with these guys. And for those that were fortunate enough to be at the Houghton Golf Course that listened to me speak, and I'll say it again on the radio, you know, I wish that soccer players today could behave like these guys have been. And it's been, I actually went to the game in Durban, and it just the carry through, what the joy that they brought to South Africa has just been unbelievable.
I'll come back to the game at the weekend in a moment. How did the golf day all come about, I mean, with these Liverpool legends?
I actually met John Barnes through Mark Batchelor, and he introduced me to John. And my wife and I were overseas in July. I got a call from John who was very approachable. Came on the telephone and said to me, would I mind helping put a golf day together? So I said to him, who would be involved? And he rattled off these names, and I thought, you've got to be joking. I mean, I cannot believe that this sort of team would be available to play in a golf day. So I didn't even think about it. I didn't think twice about it, because to have this sort of caliber of team, because I had a look, you know, I Googled them. I don't know if you know, but they won between 1975 and 1984. They won the league. They won the league 7 out of 9 years, which is, you know, when one thinks about how it's just, it's almost unthinkable. And in that time, they won 4 European Cups on top of it. So God knows what would have happened had these guys not been banned from Europe. I mean, they could have gone on to win the European Cup 6 or 7 times. That's how good they were.
Yeah. And you know, the characters that they were, I mean, Bruce Grobler, I just went up to him and I said, "Hi, I'm Graham Joffe from the Sun newspaper." He had a bit of a flutter. But he remembered me. You know, he remembered me from my days at CNN. And just, you know, these are characters. And I guess the players today could learn so much from these guys.
You're absolutely right, sir, Graham. And I must tell you that just the way that they interacted with all the kids, they didn't stop signing. They spoke to whoever came up to speak to them. They were unbelievable. And I even had, you know, I mean, coming back, I know you don't want to talk about Durban just yet, but on the plane coming back, I had Phil Thompson on the phone with me, on the plane with me, and he was just unbelievably humble. He was just remarkable.
We'll get to Durban in a second. The funds from the golf day, do they go towards a charity?
They go towards the Liverpool Legends 5 charity. And also, they look after a lot of victims from the Hillsborough Disaster Fund. And also what we did was we gave charity to a company, well, a charity in South Africa called Magical Moments, run by a lady by the name of Alana Friedman. And they look after underprivileged children. It's a great charity in South Africa. They do unbelievable work and work below the radar. So we gave some money towards that charity as well.
Lovely. The game at the weekend in Durban, I was a little bit concerned because I don't think it was very well marketed out there. I mean, was there a good crowd in the end?
Graham, you won't believe it. There were 30,000 people at the game.
Is that right? Fantastic.
And I honestly believe that had the game been in Joburg, we would have had 50 or 60,000. How's that?
I agree with that. And ended up 5-5 penalty shootout. You couldn't have asked for a better finish.
Well, you know, it's quite interesting because we were in one of the boxes where the Liverpool players were, and they came up after us, and I must tell you that they were quite gutted, and rightfully so, because I think that they scored a goal 2 minutes from the end and was given as offsides. But you know, I don't think anyone's going to bemoan the score. Just the fact that they were gutted meant that they took it seriously. And if you had a look at how Chiefs played, it was lovely to watch. Because the technique that was displayed by the Liverpool guys, you know, you've got Jan Mulby and John Barnes, who, with no disrespect, are slightly overweight. and the fact that they held the ball up like they did in the midfield and got to an hour and a half is just unbelievable.
And Rob, is there more plans to bring out some more of these football legends out to the country? Because it certainly gives the fans a lift as well as the kids.
Graham, as a Man United fan, I would love nothing more than to bring Man United legends out. But I think we'd have to have a dinner at the convention centre, not the Houghton Golf Course. I don't know how you keep the people away.
Amazing.
But having said that, I must tell you now, I'd be very willing to do something with these guys again. They were just such gentlemen. You have got no idea.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, it was an unbelievable golf day. And, yeah, just congratulations to you and what you do for junior football in this country. And a guy with a real passion and a huge heart. And, I look forward to your next golf day, Rob.
Thanks, my boy. Anytime, eh?
Take care, then. Robbie Siegel, one of the really good guys. And, you know, as I say, just go look at Balfour Park and what he's done with Alexandra and Balfour Park Football Club. And you'll see what a passion this guy has for junior football. 2 out of 2 for the box on the end-of-year tour. Game of two halves. Very frustrating game at the weekend. First half was just all box, and they were so good. 3 of the 4 tries in the first half, but convincing in the end. 28-0. Scots were never really in it. And this is what Heineke Meyer and Jean de Villiers had to say after the game.
Yeah, I think we were very blessed today. Very thankful and grateful for the win. There's a lot of pleasing moments. I think really asked the guys for a clinical performance. Thoughts would be wet. And I thought he played some great rugby. Really took the right options at the right times. I was very happy with that great try we scored right from the kickoff. It just shows you can play that type of rugby in this conditions. But I think that's, you know, always take 4 tries to naught in test match rugby. But I think the great thing for me is that we wanted to work hard on our defence, and last week was awesome. We didn't give away any tries, and today as well, you know, didn't give him any points, which I'm very, very happy with. And especially at the end, you know, we had 14 men in that scrum. We had a backline player on the scrum, and that's what I like about this team. You know, they want to give points away, they put their bodies on the line, and awesome defence. I'm very, very happy with the defensive effort as well.
Yeah, I definitely think the conditions had an effect in the second half. You know, we had a couple of opportunities. One being my intercept that I didn't catch. That could have changed the flow of the game. But you know, I thought Scotland were better in the second half. We got pinned a bit at the breakdown in the second period, and that's an area we weren't you know, happy with in the second period. But given all the circumstances, you know, being able to beat Scotland 28-0 at Murrayfield is you know, we'll take that any day of the week. So happy with the way that we started, probably not happy with the way we finished.
Dan Retief, I think you'll agree with that. They started well, but the finishing second half was actually quite a bore.
Yes, and you know, I really quite enjoy the way Jean de Villiers sums it all up, Joff, as he, you know, last week after the Wales game, he said it was an iffy performance, and I thought his explanation there was spot on. You know, started well but didn't finish well. Box to me didn't play that well in the second half at all. You know, they a very telling statistic is that Scotland had 70% of the ball, and you know, the Springboks are meant to have this awesome pack, and Scotland are way down the rankings compared to us. And if we can't get ball off Scotland, where how are we going to go against France and against New Zealand? You know, so but 28-0 did the job. You know, there were periods we looked very good. But the things that we've been talking about that I mean, it's the drum I beat, is that our attacking play, our backline play, we really need to do something about it, because we just don't break down sides. And you just got to look at the All Blacks against England, you know, having been well in front and then falling behind. And they just kept trying to score that try, trying to build that try, trying to put the chess pieces in place to create the gap. And eventually they did it, you know, and my contention is that the Springboks at the moment can't do that.
If you're looking for standout players, I mean, Willie LaRue was brilliant, I thought. Dwayne Vermeulen, another big game, and Dwayne Vermeulen's just become a real beast.
I know, he's playing exceptionally, you know. He's not the most skillful of number eights. He's not a classic number eight who will link and pass the ball and drop into the box, but he puts his body on the line, and, you know, he's been crucial in both these test matches, because he just keeps coming at the opposition, makes the big hits, gets across the advantage line. You're right about Willie LaRue. You know, he was under the microscope, given another chance at fullback, and he just showed what an excellent attacking player he is, how dangerous he can be to have him hovering around. You know, and there were some other good performances. Francois Lowe, I thought, has done exceptionally well until he was hurt. And it's good to hear that he's not that seriously hurt. They think he can play against France. And you know, a number of others. I think Flip Funanava is really trying really hard to sort of cement his place, excepting the line-out went awry in the second half. We started losing our ball. I was a little bit worried that he seemed to be calling the ball to himself a lot, you know, seeing as he is now calling the line-out, you know, so that's something we're going to have to look at. But, you know, the other thing that I reminded myself of is in the build-up to the Rugby World Cup victory in 2007 in France, the Springboks played a test match against Scotland at Murrayfield, in which we did a similar thing. We ran into a big lead, and then we defended. And that test match almost said that this is a team that's going to be very hard to beat in the Rugby World Cup. And now it's been proven again. Our defense is outstanding. It always has been. But we've been through that now. And now it really is time to add those attacking dimensions that are just sort of missing. And yet again, Patrick Lambie, he looks a different player in the Springboks. He seems to be a player who's just thinking all the time of what he should do, of what he shouldn't do, of what play he's meant to call in a certain field position. He just doesn't have that naturalness that he does have in the Sharks. But here again, he's played at fly-off in a test match, and we won it. You know, so I tell you what, Patrick Lambie's got a win record when he's been in test matches of up around the 70% mark. You know, so he really is a good player to have around.
Speaking of numbers, JP Peterson in his 50th test getting a try as well. And he's very good on defense. For me, I like JP Peterson. Also elusive when he's running. He's got that X factor.
He does. And he's very experienced now. And he's much bigger than people think he is. You know, so he looks as though he's loping along, but he's actually moving quite quickly. I thought he got a good try. He ran into a good position, and it was very good of Billy LaRue to scan to see where he should put the kick. So, and then JP made an excellent pickup, and he made some really good tackles. I just thought he might get sighted. Big tackle on Denton. At first the Scots were trying to outflank us because we do end tackle, and they got the ball out, but unfortunately for them, they got it to a forward who wasn't as quick as JP. And he made a really big tackle, but why push the guy's head into the ground, you know? And I was really expecting he might get a sighting for that, you know. Although we did hear during the game that the TMO, who by the way is a guy called Marshall Kilgore of Ireland, was utterly useless, you know. So because he made a complete farce of the incident in goal where he just got the call completely wrong. So you probably find there wasn't a sighting and it come from him or from somebody else. But JP needs to look at that, you know, make the tackle and get back in the game. Don't shove people's head in the ground.
Yeah. Bucky's a fairly quiet game by his standards.
Yeah, fairly. You know, he's obviously finding his way. Not a lot of line-out ball called on him, which was quite interesting because he does win that front-end ball. But I think he has that presence, you know, that he's just there or thereabouts. He hits the rucks very hard. You know, people know he's around. They're watching out for him, you know. And then we also play a player like Willem Alberts. But with all that physicality, with that sort of the mongrel that we have in our team, I thought we should have won by more. But that said, you know, you can't complain too hard about 28-0 on a very poor pitch. I mean, that's 2 weeks in a row on a very poor pitch. And in quite cold conditions, you could see the steam coming off the players, you know. So it is disappointing, but, you know, we got the win. We did what we had to do. We didn't give up any points, as Heineke pointed out. And there's a lot to be taken from that.
2 out of 2, France awaits this weekend. I see Yano Vermaak's been called up for Farid Dupree, and Yano really deserves it.
Yeah, I'm sort of astonished at why that is. You know, they've got little Louis Schroeder. Remember, he was the shock choice, so he's along with the team.
Right.
And then a scrum off goes down, and they call in Yano Vermaak. You know, so what is the sense of that? Unless, of course, they had always thought that Yano would be called, and Louis Schroeder is just there to inculcate the team habits. And then they've done, to me, quite an interesting thing amongst the props as well, because Frans Malherbe, who played the 2 tests in the number 3 jersey as tight head, he did very well, by the way. He really looks to be a comer. They've always thought in Western Province that Frans Malherbe is going to be the next Hempies de Tooyen, and he certainly showed he's got the goods. So he's gone down with a rib injury, and they've called for Frick Kirsten from the Blue Bulls, you know. When they've got Lawrence Adriaanse's there, Kuni Oosthuizen obviously moves up. Bjorn Herps has been in the squad. CJ van der Linde is a Springbok. So, you know, Heineke, I think there again, he's obviously looking at a young player, wants to have him part of the squad, wants to start teaching him. But people will definitely say, Frick Kirsten, didn't you sign him up at the Blue Bulls when he was under 19, you know? So there will be a little bit of that, you know. And I sort of feel for a guy like Lawrence Adriaanse, you know, because maybe it's his turn.
Interesting. Right, before I let you go, England, New Zealand, I thought I really enjoyed that game.
That was a test match. That was a humding of a test match. I thought the All Blacks played superbly. They were played with so much confidence. And then England came back at them and pegged them back and stood up to them. And England played the All Blacks like the Springboks play them when the Springboks beat them. You know, the old cliche, they were right in their faces. They gave them no space. They knocked them down. And the All Blacks were very rattled, and they couldn't get their hands on the ball, you know. And then eventually England went into the lead. But I think then Richie McCaw showed his captaincy. The All Blacks showed their champion qualities. And as I said earlier, they kept trying for that try. A try to win the match, and they pulled it off. They did it, you know. So whatever we say, you know, you've got to give it to the All Blacks. It's been a great year. 2013, went through the season unbeaten, one game to come, and they'll obviously be very careful not to take their eye off the ball as they did last year. But then, that said, we're 2 years out from the Rugby World Cup, and the signs are very good for England. I thought there was a very brave performance. I think their rugby is undergoing a transformation. They're not just a team of crash bangers. They're looking like they want to play. They're a very young team, and 2 years from now, they're not going to be that young team. They're going to have a lot of experience, and the Rugby World Cup will be in their own country. So England, I think, are going to be very competitive in 2015.
Dan Retief, Sportsfire rugby analyst. Danny, chat again on Thursday. Thanks, boy.
I look forward to that. Thanks, Joffers.
N, I've just got wind of an imminent security breach.
Don't worry, I've already destroyed Document Y.
You did what?
Relax, Bo. I first converted it into digital format with Document Manager NX.
Great. Now everyone has access to it.
I saved it as a password-protected PDF. And I'm tracking any activity on it.
Darn it. Is document management that good? I'll soon be out of a job.
You want to know my secret? A secure document solution from Ricoh. I'll even give you the password. Ricoh.co.za. Ricoh. Imagine. Change.
What a year for Henrik Stenson. And, you know, his form until he came and played in the South African Open and won it at Serengeti, his form wasn't much to speak about. But since then, it's just been unbelievable. And to end off the season in style, Stenson becoming the first man to win the Race to Dubai and the FedEx Cup in the same year as he took the World Tour Championship by 6 shots in Dubai.
Yeah, I hit a lot of good shots, and of course there's going to be a couple of key ones, but I got off to a great start at a super nice 9 iron to 3 feet on 1, then I had a nice 9 iron to about 8 feet on 3, sticked it with a wedge on 5, and then 2 putted 7, so that was 4 birdies. But I guess key for the momentum was I made a solid up and down on 9 to stay par, missed a couple of good chances on 10, 11, but then I had just ridiculously nice 5 iron. It was in between 5 and 6, and just a little baby 5 iron to a foot and a half, so it was just a great shot on 12, and then another nice one on 14, missed the short eagle, and then the one on the last was too far away, was it? I mean, I was just trying to hit 3 wood up to make sure I got it past the water. It wasn't maybe the most solid strike, but it was good enough, and then I almost went in the hole for 2. So
just talk us through that shot though, because it was the highlight of the day for us to finish like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very fitting finish to my week and to my year and everything, wasn't it? So now I just tried to hit a solid 3 wood. I wasn't going really for the pin, but maybe we shouldn't say that to the viewers. Makes it even more spectacular then, doesn't it?
Henrik Stenson talking after his win in Dubai, and just a great year that has ended off with him winning the FedEx Cup and, of course, the Race to Dubai. And big disappointment, though, the news today that Stenson won't be playing in the South African Open, won't be back here to defend his title. The tournament this year at Glendower starting this week. I think it's something to do with a wrist injury, which is obviously a major disappointment, not only for the tournament, but for all the golf fans as well. Plenty of South Africans in the field, plenty of South African talent, and one of them is a young local talent by the name of Sipho Bujela, who joins us now on Sportsfire tonight. Sipho, thanks for joining us, my brother.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, and yourself? And did you have a practice round today at Glendower?
Yes, I was just there at the course now.
And how are you feeling? How are you hitting him?
Well, it's looking good. I'm hitting it great, and the course is really looking awesome. So it's going to be a fantastic tournament, I think so.
No, I'm sure. And how? I mean, Glendower, does that suit your game? What's your favorite course?
Well, I've played a lot there, and I've played a lot of my amateur events there. So I love the course, and I think it really suits my game. It's just a matter of planning your way on the course, and it is gonna give you at the end of the day.
Sipho, last year you played in the South African Open as an amateur. This year it's your pro debut in the Open, so it's kind of a new challenge and a chance to make some money as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last year it was my debut as an amateur, and it was a privilege for me to play there as an amateur. And it was actually, I think it's going to be much different now because I'm a pro, and I got some experience playing it as a amateur last year. So now playing it as a pro, it's going to be much different, and I'm looking up to it.
You've been on the Sunshine Tour this year. I know you've had one or two injuries, but I think I remember, was it a 65, I think, in the opening round of the Zambia Open? And, I mean, how's the rest of the year been for you?
Well, it's been up and down, eh? Most of my winter events are done well, and a summer tour, and I haven't done great so far because some of them I had to pre-qualify, so it wasn't easy to get into some of the tournaments. But so far, with the wrist injury, that really disappointed me, because I was looking really forward to these events that are left at the end of the year. But looking at my game now, it's starting to really come back, so I'm looking out for it.
You secured your Tour Pro card at the Vusi Ungubeni qualifying school, and that's just been a great opportunity for young talent to come through the ranks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, guys from Vusi, isn't much of number of guys coming out there, because only top 15 who get to get the card to play on the Sunshine Tour. So me going there is my first time, and making and getting my card, it was like a privilege for me, and I'm pretty blessed about it.
That's fantastic. And how did you start playing golf? When did you start, and how did you get started?
Well, I started when I was 14. At that time, it wasn't like, I wasn't really into golf, but a friend of mine played golf, so he took me to the golf course and started playing using his golf clubs. So, and there was a golf development program what was involved. Then I started to join it when I was 15, and from there I never looked back.
Amazing. And then, and where did you grow up? Are you from this area, from Johannesburg, or?
I'm based in Soweto, so most of my life it's here in Joburg.
And which course are you a member at?
I'm currently at Modderfontein Golf Club now.
Fantastic golf club as well.
Yes, it is.
Favorite club in the bag?
Oh, favorite club in the bag, it must be my low boy, Jay. I can do everything with it. I mean,
56 or 60?
60.
Beautiful. Can you? I think I'm going to need a lesson from you soon.
anytime.
Beautiful. And Sipho, I mean, obviously you've got a long career ahead. How old are you now?
Currently 23.
Okay.
Turning 24 next year.
Wow, so you've got a bright future ahead of you. And, you know, if you had to think about one tournament and that you would want to win, which would be that tournament?
Well, starting off here in South Africa, I want to win probably Joburg Open. You know, I've played quite a few events there as an amateur. I've been given plenty chances to play there. So winning that one will be a special moment for me.
And a role model when it comes to golf?
Well, I really like Henrik Stenson. Back at my club, when I used to grow up, they used to call me Stenson, because I used to imitate the way he swings the clubs. And, yeah. So,
well, let's
Henrik Stenson is really one of my idols. And I love Tiger Woods as well. And here from SA, I love Shaw. I love Amy and Richard Stenney.
Fantastic. Well, Sipho, really, good luck as a pro, your first South African Open as a pro, and looking forward to hearing big things happening for Sipho Bojela in the near future.
Thanks very much, appreciate it.
Take care then, cheers.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC with the latest from the English Premier League. The Tottenham Hotspur defender Kyle Walker has declared himself fit for England's game against Germany on Tuesday. Walker had to sit out Friday's 2-0 defeat to Chile because of a muscle problem, but after having a pain-killing injection, he's fit to face the Germans. Meanwhile, his England teammate, striker Daniel Sturridge, is also fit and raring to go ahead of Tuesday's friendly, having missed Friday's game with a thigh problem.
It's amazing. You know, to put on the England shirt is every player's dream. Certainly been my dream from a young age. And, you know, regardless whether it's a friendly, whether it's a competitive game, whether it's training, even if it ends up being a kick around on the park with your mates and you've got the England shirt on, it doesn't really matter. You know, when you put the England shirt on, you play with pride, you play, you know, with your heart, you give 110%, and you make sure that you work your socks off for the country and for everybody that's supporting the country.
Elsewhere, the Sunderland striker Stephen Fletcher won't feature for Scotland in Tuesday's friendly against Norway in Molde. Fletcher has just returned to action with Sunderland following injury. It means that Everton Stephen Naismith will be favourite to start up front for the Scots. The Arsenal goalkeeper Wojciech Szczesny has signed a new contract, which the club describe as long-term. The Poland international joined the Premier League leaders from his hometown club, Legia Warsaw, in 2006 and made his first team debut in September 2009. The 23-year-old has made 123 appearances for the Gunners. And for more football news from the BBC, use your mobile phone. Just go to bbc.com/mobile.
Soccer 6 is your chance to score big. Over 4 million rand is won on Soccer 6 every week, and it's easy to play. To win, you must forecast the results of 6 matches. Play by phone, online, or on your mobile. Soccer 6, your best soccer bet.
Teletrack's Shane McGregor. Tell me, did you get some game time for the Chiefs legends against the Liverpool legends at the weekend?
Yeah, I did, Josh. It was quite good, you know. 30 minutes in the beginning and then 5 right at the end. You were doing revolving subs.
So you got 35 minutes on the weekend. You must be in a wheelchair.
I feel like I should be in a wheelchair, the way I'm feeling at the moment.
Did you score?
I didn't, but it was a good game, you know, and I enjoyed it.
I saw the result 5-5. Unfortunately, I didn't watch any of the game, and you guys, Chiefs winning in a penalty shootout. But I heard there was a crowd of 30,000 people, and I guess for you as a massive Liverpool fan, it was probably quite a treat.
It was a real treat, you know. It came before those guys, and 28,000 of the 30,000 were Liverpool supporters. So unfortunately for the Chiefs guys, we didn't have that much support. It was brilliant. Seriously, it was brilliant, Jeff. A good bunch of guys. Very down to earth, and we all enjoyed it. It was a great game.
Did you get a chance to socialise with the guys afterwards?
I did see them afterwards. We went out in the evening at Cotton Fields in Cape Town, in Mini Durban. It was good fun, you know. They're a good bunch of lads, and had a chat and had a few photos and whatever else. And yeah, we're going to try and do it in Liverpool next year.
That'll be quite something.
That would be great.
Yeah, and I must say, we spoke to Robbie Siegel earlier, who organised the golf day at Houghton last week, and I played in the day as well, Shane Mack, and yeah, they were just so accessible, and Bruce Krobler was so much fun, and John Barnes is always John Barnes, and, you know, these are guys that are real legends, and it's nice to know that they can make themselves available to the public.
Yeah, of course, you know, you got Robbie Fowler was there as well. Smitch, you had a good few, you know. I had a good chat to Phil Neal and a good chat to Alan Kennedy, and the ex-manager Evans, and they were all a real down-to-earth, good bunch of guys, and yeah, they just love football.
Must be some nice stories from Cotton Fields.
Oh, let's not go there.
Right, it was International Week. I'm looking at those Africa qualifiers, and it's almost come back to the same old giants that are back there, at Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Nigeria, still a couple more to be decided, but you know, it's so disappointing when we still think about Bafana, and you think about Itumeleng Khune getting the Sports Star of the year last night. And, yeah, Bafana haven't really achieved, have they?
They haven't. They've let the nation down big time. But it's not their fault, you know.
No, sure.
The development and everything else that's not done. And what can you say, you know? West African teams, Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Niger, all going through. And we've got a lot to learn, and we've got to be start doing it soon.
Yeah, Shamak, when I look at the Cameroonians and the Ivory Coast and the Nigerians and the strikers, and, you know, I'm not sure if it's genetics, but we don't have those big strikers up front, those big guys that can hold up the ball. I mean, you know, the Benny McCarthy's have been great. I'm trying to think of where I'm going else. But, I mean, we've never had these big guys up front that can hold up the ball that are a real threat in the air as well.
Yeah, that's always been a problem with the South Africans, that we don't do that, you know. We don't have an out-and-out striker that we can play off. We've got guys that normally like to play off players. And, you can't develop a player like that. He's going to be born, you know. And unfortunately, it's not happening. We've got to start looking a little longer, wider, and start developing the guys at a younger age.
Yeah. And if you look at the Ivory Coast with the amount of players they've got of playing overseas, you'd think if any African side was going to win a World Cup, the Ivory Coast would probably be the one to pick.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got so many players playing in the UK. Cameroon also not far behind, and Nigeria as well. You know, they've got a good number there, but like you said, Ivory Coast, definitely.
Soccer payouts at the weekend?
Well, on soccer, the Friday 13, in those international games, got to 6.9 million, and there were only two winners, each collecting 1.4 million. And then Saturday, the soccer 10, 363,000, 5 winners collecting 72,000. A nice big payout.
Those are proper payouts.
Yeah, they are.
Horse racing highlights from the weekend. I didn't see anything of interest.
Well, just obviously the Jockeys International test, you know, and it was up and down the whole weekend. Obviously, it was cut short on Saturday in Kenilworth with the rain. But at one stage, the international jockeys were ahead, and then after Saturday, the South Africans were ahead. And it was up and down, you know, and it went right to the wire at the end. I think it was a 20-point difference. But some brilliant running from Hughes. I mean, Richard Hughes, what a jockey. I mean, he must be one of the best in the world at this stage.
So this past weekend was the International Jockeys Challenge. I mean, have I been underground?
I think you have. It was Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
And good turnouts?
Joburg, very good turnouts. Joburg was sold out. Cape Town was also, even though it was bad weather, was very good turnout. And then yesterday, Clearwood was a very, very good turnout.
So they actually had three meetings, because I think it used to be two meetings. So they actually had three.
Yeah, no, they've changed it now. They've gone Durban, Cape Town and Joburg.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, brilliant. That was brilliant.
And but just as a matter of interest, the new track in Durban, is that up yet? They were talking about that synthetic track. Is that happening?
Not yet. That'll only be up next year, up and running at Gravel on the inside. They're going to sell Clearwood, as you obviously know, and that'll only be ready next year.
Okay. PAs and pick sixes?
No, I mean big pass. Obviously, with all these guys and the favourites winning and that type of thing, there were no big pass to talk about.
And, Kev, you got a banker for the week for us?
I'm gaining the international games. I'm staying off the friendlies. Friendlies always come back and bite you. So I'm going to go with Sweden to beat Portugal at home. You know, Portugal 1-0 up from the first leg. And I'm going to go with Croatia to beat Iceland. And it's also 0-0. They're all to play for in those two.
Okay. And are Belgium not playing this week? Because you normally punt Belgium every week.
Yeah, Belgium and in a friendly. You know, but that's what I say. I'm staying away from the friendlies. I've learned from that. They play all their fringe players and they're just giving guys a run, having a look.
Beautiful. Shane Mack, well, hopefully you recover well. Get those feet in an ice bucket after your 35 minutes at the weekend.
My hand was in the ice bucket on Saturday night, not the feet.
Were you boxing?
No. Getting those beers up.
Beautiful. Shane Mack, great catching up, my boy. We'll chat soon.
Chat, Joffers. Keep going.
Cheers. And Shane McGregor from Teletrack Channel 239 for all your horse racing. And of course, they've got those morning shows, betting, punting shows. Neil Andrews, Crystal Arnold. I think Rod McCurdy's still going. Terry Payne at 94. I think he's still doing the odd show on that channel as well. Celebrity birthdays, 18th of November. Jimmy Quinn, the Northern Irish footballer and manager. Peter Schmeichel, born this day in 1963. What a great goalkeeper that was. The Belgian rally driver, Francois Duval. Luke Chadwick, the English footballer, born this day in 1980. And I was trying to track him down earlier. Born this day in 1973, the South African cricketer Nick Pothas played for Transvaal, has been playing county cricket. I think he might still be playing some county cricket, if I'm not mistaken. But good guy as well, very good guy. Nick Pothas, happy birthday. Best on the TV for the early part of this week, Tuesday. You've got World Cup qualifiers, Egypt against Ghana, Algeria against Burkina Faso, Sweden against Portugal, and you've got that international friendly Bafana Bafana against Spain at the FNB Stadium. I think kickoff's pretty late, though, 9 o'clock in the evening. I'm not quite sure why they make it so late. But anyway, Wednesday, fairly quiet down the sporting front, some American sport on the box. You've got NHL, the New York Rangers against the Boston Bruins. Thursday, looking really forward to that. The start of the first Ashes test. Australia against England. And after what Shane Warne's been saying and putting his foot in it, it's going to be a nice charged up series. Australia against England. First Ashes test starting on Thursday. First ODI as well. India against the West Indies. Just hope the West Indies will be a little bit better than they've been in the test series where they've been woeful. Got the World Cup of Golf. I think it's Brandon Grace and George Coetzee who are representing South Africa in the World Cup of Golf. And then, of course, the South African Open at the beautiful Glendower Golf Course. If you're in the Joburg area any time from Thursday to Sunday, it's a packed field, South African Open at Glendower from Thursday to Sunday. To end off, as usual, it is our norm, our stand-up comedian, Malcolm Ferreira. Never quite know where he is, what he's up to, what he's talking about, but we still put him on. Hello, Norm.
How's it going?
We love your work, though, Norm.
Oh, yeah, that's weird, eh? You know what I think?
What's
that? Shane Warne has got Elizabeth Hurley.
Why?
It's because he keeps putting his foot in it. Let's be honest. Anyway, you know, Graham, I met tonight, Daniel. You are told I was in Zululand, eh?
You in Zululand?
Yeah. I told you, I'm here in a pork. In Zululand.
Okay.
And there's seas where. I promise you, Graham, these oaks actually name their children after the cricket game. This oak is so good. that actually when he bowls, he goes, yaw, and then he looks at the ref and he says, see, and the ref says, where? And that's where it all came from. I'm trying to help you with history, but you just look at me like I'm an idiot, even though we're over the phone.
No. I'm happy with that history lesson.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, so is Dan still in Turkey, hey?
No, Dan's back from Turkey.
Oh, okay. Because I tried to do what Dan did with the Turkey thing, and I did the Turkish delight, and then I got diabetes.
Yes.
So thanks, Dan. But listen, Graham, down here in Natal, I got lots of fans, eh?
You've got lots of fans.
Lots of fans, Graham.
Yeah?
You all know the heat is ridiculous. One on the roof, one on the side, one on the other side. Got no idea. And then remember last week we spoke about the spear fishing.
We spoke about spearfishing law. Yeah, I remember that you're catching your own fish now to eat.
Yeah, well, thanks for listening. You know, just great. Anyway, I'm spearfishing, and I couldn't catch a fish. So I went down to a restaurant, and somebody recognized me because I'm famous because of you. And he said I wasn't a spear fisherman, so I stuck him in the eye with a fork.
Oh, Norm. Oh,
no,
brother.
It's not funny, Graham. I'm trying to tell you the truth here.
No, here you are.
And listen, I believe that Oak from Australia has given up Formula One.
The guy from Australia has given up Formula One. Who's
the
that?
Oak who came third.
In the Grand Prix at the weekend?
Yeah.
Mm.
Button.
Jensen
no.
Button. He hasn't given up. But he's not Australian either.
No, okay, but the Oak is Australian. I don't know. I'm not a knitter. but I don't understand, because he's going to NASCAR.
Okay.
Yeah, which is a weird name, because they're so drunk and stupid over there. They go, NASCAR. and that's actually just on a highway. But listen, Graham, I was watching the cricket, eh? We played well in the cricket, and I was happy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a little bit upset with the Mexicans.
With the Mexicans?
Yeah.
Why?
Because why is it called the Mexican wave? Why don't you come down to Zululand and see it's not your wave? There's lots of them. Just stop trying to crawl across the border and just actually make your own country happen. Seriously, Graham. Why is it a Mexican wave? I promise you, I dived into one and I was sucking it like it was, you know, Heidi Klum, and there was no tequila. So it's not a Mexican wave. And then I want to know this kissing the trophy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It worries me. Do people not understand what STDs are? These Oaks all winner trophies are very well known and very rich, and they are very, you know, good with the ladies. Stop kissing in trophies.
Normie?
Like Vettel.
We love your work, Normie. Good luck tonight out there.
Okay, thanks, Graham.
And just want to tell you something. Tomorrow is World Toilet Day.
Oh, and I'm not even at the caravan park. I think I was the chairman. Oh, Graham, please go there and talk cuck for me.
Good night, Normie.
I love you, Graham. Take care, hey.
That is it for Sports Fire. I don't know. From all the team, good night. We'll be back Thursday, 5:30.
All the sports, all the news, Sports Fire. Asking the questions no one else will. Join me, Graham Joffe, as we scrum down with players, coaches and administrators. 1 hour of hard-hitting, informing, controversial, entertaining sports talk. Sportsfire, powered by Ricoh.